It's Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from Roswell, the 62nd anniversary. And we're here at the Convention Center, and we have Jesse Marcel Jr. And Jesse, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Very special thing's going to happen tomorrow, Saturday, right after your presentation. They're going to induct your father posthumously into the Hall of Fame, the first member.
Well, that's a real honor.
And have you? When did you find out they were going to do that?
About 2 months ago, they asked for some pictures.
Well, they keep a secret well, yeah. Because I didn't figure it out until about 10 days ago.
Oh, sorry. No, it's been a couple of months I've known
about
that.
Yeah.
So they're talking about it, and I guess they finally just got it off the ground. Mm-hmm. They want to know if I had some pictures of my dad when he was in the military, so I found some.
I want to talk to you a little bit about that, of course, mm-hmm. before we get off the air. You've got a book out, right?
I do. It's called Roswell Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's a book to establish my dad's credibility, because there's been so many naysayers that they said if you don't like the message, you destroy the messenger. And so that's what I did. I tried to establish his credibility, that he was who he said he was. He went to school, had all the training to recognize various artifacts, including weather balloons and radar targets and or flying saucers.
Yeah. Now, when we talk about all of that and his military career and these people that try to attack his credibility, he was promoted right on up the ladder regularly.
Well, he was a major at the time, and he retired a few years later. And as when you retire, they do give you one grade upgrade on that. So he's mm-hmm. retired as a lieutenant colonel.
And that's your rank?
I'm full colonel.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll take that back.
Yeah, you one step above.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You outranked your dad.
Yeah, I guess so.
And you did it. Well, how many tours in Iraq?
Two.
That's what I was thinking. And you're back up in Montana now. And is that right?
Yep. I'm retired. And
You sent me a card with a bunch of cows in a meadow or something.
Oh, is that? Yeah, that's our place there. So.
Yeah. You said, dude. Glad to relax for a change.
Yeah, let's watch the grass grow, and that's it. Or the snowfall, as the case may be.
Well, we'll talk about all of that, too, but let's get back to your dad and the subject here. You were 11, I guess, when this happened?
That's correct.
Do you remember, of course, at 11, you got a good memory, probably.
Well, an 11-year-old brain is like a sponge. It soaks up all kind of information. And when something as unique as seeing debris from the flying saucer, you retain it indefinitely. Like, I can remember it just like it was yesterday.
Well, I'm sure.
It made a very strong impression.
Tell our audience a little bit about it.
Well, what my dad was, he was the intelligence officer of the 509th, mm-hmm. and something crashed on a ranch land just out of Roswell on the Foster Ranch. The foreman of the ranch saw this, and he didn't know what it was, and so he sent samples of what it was back to Colonel Blanchard, who was the base commander. And they did not know, so Colonel Blanchard, the base commander, dispatched my dad and a CIC agent, Sheridan Cabot, out to the ranch to pick up whatever this was, try to define what it was. So when they got out there, my dad didn't know what it was. He'd seen weather balloons, radar targets,
sure.
and all that, aircraft of various types, but nothing fit that description. So what he did, he brought, our house happened to be on the way back to the air base. So on his way back to the air base, he swung by the house and got myself and my mother up about 1 o'clock in the morning to look at this strange material that he found in the desert.
And when he had this material, was it in a box, or he wrapped it up, or what was it like?
Well, it was in a cardboard box.
Uh-huh.
He brought it in from from his car, and he pre-positioned this on the kitchen floor before he got us up. So he woke me up and says, "I got something I want you to see. It's something that you'll never see again, so come out and look at that." So, when I went to the kitchen, there's a lot of metal fragments, metallic debris on the floor. I thought, what is he doing getting me up at this time of day, just a night, just to see a bunch of junk? But he was very excited, and I realized at that time this is something far different than just junk.
And the stuff you saw was different than the picture in Fort Worth that the general showed.
Oh, yeah. That defined the cover-up right there, because what that was clearly parts of a radar target. Mm-hmm. Our balloon, in the background there. So, but that's not what was on our kitchen floor.
That wasn't what you saw.
That was not what I saw.
Do you remember your dad's reaction, or did he ever mention it when he came back
from
Fort Worth?
Well, what he did when he came back from Fort Worth, he told my mother and myself that we're never to talk about this again. It didn't happen, so don't ever talk about it. And that's where the subject ended.
That was about it.
That was it.
And so you couldn't tell if he was distressed of it or not or anything?
He kept it pretty close to his chest.
Uh-huh.
In later years,
do you ever
talk to you about it? We were told not to talk about it, so we didn't.
Uh-huh.
And I was back in medical school and practicing medicine in Helena, Montana before he started opening up about this. So we never really talked about it in detail.
When you come back to these celebrations, you've been down at the UFO Museum one time, you're here in different places. I guess this brings back probably a mixture of memories.
Well, you know, I remember Roswell the way it was in 1947.
And this ain't it. This is totally
a different time. You know, the central part of Roswell is about the same, and the neighborhoods are about the same.
But, yeah.
Boy, it's really grown.
Yes, it has. I marvel at it every year.
Yeah.
But it still has some pretty homes in the older neighborhoods I'm kind of partial to,
and
downtown. So what is your take? Like when you were in Iraq, you probably mentioned Colonel Marcel. Anybody ever say, "Are you the Colonel Marcel of Roswell fame?" Anybody ever come up to you?
Yeah, I spent most of my time in a Black Hawk helicopter as a crew member there, and when we get away from hostile fire,
yeah, you're regions, a flight surgeon, right?
Yeah, as a flight surgeon, when we get away from where people are shooting at you, then we start talking about the Roswell thing.
So you're pretty famous. That name's famous. The whole situation's famous.
Yeah, I guess it's the event that's famous, and I just happen to be part of it.
Yeah, I understand. What do you think about it now, all of these years later? Will you agree it's a cover-up?
Oh, yes, it still is.
And you agree that what you saw, even though you were young, and your dad was so excited about it, he knew the difference between that and things of this world.
Yeah. Well, he went to radar school, so he knew what a radar target looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Even I knew what a radar target looked like.
Uh-huh.
And so he would not have brought a radar target home at 1 o'clock in the morning for us to see.
That's for sure.
That's for sure.
What's next in your life here? You're going to write some more books or something?
No, I think I've about done with it.
Exhausted the subject there?
Yeah, you can't amplify upon it because it's just a one-time event.
Yeah.
So you can't add to it just to make it more interesting.
Right. But it's a one-time event, and like you say, you remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you get any reaction from other people in Roswell at the time? Or I guess you were out there by yourself as an 11-year-old, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, like your dad had visitors over or something. It just never came up.
No, it just didn't come up. Yeah. A non-subject didn't happen.
Maybe people need to have served in the military to understand that can happen that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, he was a good soldier, following orders. He came home, told us not to talk about it, so we basically followed the same kind of order.
Well, sure.
So that's the way it rested for years and years.
What are you still practicing?
I retired last April.
Okay. I ran across a guy from Oregon, Ron Cody, said he was one of your patients.
Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. I retired from the military in December.
And he lived in Montana at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I retired from the military in 2005 and from the VA system in April of 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Or 2008. Yeah.
Well, I think you probably done your duty for all of those years. You did two tours here when most people had retired and gone home.
Kind of been there and done that. Yeah, I spent my 69th birthday in a Black Hawk helicopter in Iraq. So,
wow.
So, but age is not as long as you pass your flight physical, you're good to go. Age is not a
requirement. I understand that.
So,
in your off-duty time, you did discuss Roswell with different people.
Yes.
Do you have any inclination of whether we're ever going to find out the real things that happened officially?
Well, I would hope that the beans would be spilled while I'm still alive so I could tell people I told you so, but I don't expect that. But I already know what it was, so it doesn't really make that much difference.
Yeah, you know it's true, so.
Yeah, so.
That's a good one. Notice you got a NASA shirt on. That's good.
Oh, yeah, we went down to Cape Canaveral.
Oh, really?
Yeah, last spring, so.
And what do you think about their, I guess they're going to go back to the moon.
Yes, that's good. I just, the more the better.
Right. I'm still amazed at why it took so long for them to do that again.
Well, I guess budgetary constraints and things like mm-hmm. that. A lot of money was spent on the shuttle, which served a very good purpose, getting the Hubble telescope in space.
Oh, yeah.
And the Galileo. And
that alone would be worthwhile scientifically.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a scientific mission of discovery.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in summary here, as we wrap this up, Jesse, you have no doubt, first of all, we can assure the audience your father existed.
Yeah.
And he was a real man, and he got promoted all the way up to lieutenant colonel before.
Yeah, before your time.
And he's going to be honored there at the, they don't have a building for that yet, but I think they're going to build a building for the for the Hall of Fame, well, ultimately. Or at least find a corner in a museum or something to put people, put pictures.
Closet space, sir.
We're going to be filming you taking that award for a documentary we're doing.
Is that right?
Roswell Revelations.
Yeah, I'd be honored.
And so you see a camera crew over there tomorrow. That's what we're doing.
Okay.
We're talking with Jesse Marcel Jr., and he outranked his father. He's a colonel. We're on the eve as we do this broadcast. It'll actually be released tomorrow, and it'll be won't make the web until after you've received or taken the award or the honor. I'm not quite sure the phraseology we should use here, but your father, Jesse Marcel, the major, will be the first person in the Roswell Hall of Fame. And as you say, you found some interesting pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, they wanted pictures of him while he was in the military before, just family pictures type things.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be a display probably with the exhibit or something?
Yeah, I think it is. Uh-huh. That's what their plan is.
What are you speaking on tomorrow? You speak just before we do the award.
Well, you know, it's just to kind of tell people why I know this is a real event, that it was not a weather balloon or flying or a radar target, and just to, again, to find my dad's credibility, that he was who he was, and pictures of UFO events that occurred way back in, as far back as 1870. They had photographs of UFOs, so you know those weren't faked. And I go into our space exploration. You know, we're sending messages out to space, and like in the Voyager space probe.
And you got the SETI program going. If they got the right kind of radio, why they might hear it.
That's right. Alan Moran, California, is going to be probably the first place they'll pick up an artificial signal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting for that to happen.
Any of that could happen at any time.
Yeah, if not already.
Over the years, you got a good point. When we talk about all of this, and over the years, you were 11 at that time. You're 69 now.
72.
Oh, you're 72 already. Mm-hmm. Hey, he's older than me, Roberta.
How about that? Well, he's 73 next month.
I was starting to say we're the same age.
No, I'll be 73 next month.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, that's given you, let me add that up, that's 60-some-odd years you've had time to think about this.
Yeah.
Did it ever come to mind on a regular basis, or just... It was out of the news from the 50s to 72 or so, 74.
Yeah, I just would occasionally think about that. You know, it did make me more interested in astronomy and cosmology because I realized that we're not...
There was somebody there, right.
There, and they're smarter than we are because they can get here from wherever they come from.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm glad you became a medical doctor, and I'm sure you are. It's a good mission, but I'm surprised you didn't become a mathematician, scientist, astrologer.
Well, I was headed that way. Going into nuclear physics one time at MIT, but my mother says, no, you're not going to go design bigger, better bombs, so you're going to be a doctor. So, yes, ma'am.
That's a good message.
Yeah.
I imagine you've saved a few lives there in Iraq. That they're glad that you didn't become a nuclear scientist.
Well, that was an interesting experience.
I've heard some stories about you. I think even one time in the desert, you got to fire the machine gun out on the desert. Maybe we shouldn't mention that.
Well, it was legal for a doctor to
make it.
Because a door gun is a defensive weapon.
Uh-huh.
It's not offensive, but you're defending yourself and your crew.
Uh-huh.
So the rules of engagement were you could not fire unless fired upon first, and you could clearly identify your target. Then you could fire.
Okay.
So it was legal.
And I guess were you on call all the time, or you have days on and days off?
No,
when I was in the Army, I had one of those 24-hour duties where you got a couple of days off and you're on a day, but you're in a combat zone.
Yeah,
that's combat
zone, there's no time off.
There's no time, huh?
Yeah, no time off. Yeah, you're in it.
Well, I was in a combat zone, kind of. I was in San Francisco, but anyway.
that's
another story.
That's scary.
Jesse, I've enjoyed it.
Well, same here, Jack.
And the name of the book again?
Roswell Legacy.
Okay. And they can get that at Amazon?
Amazon. I think Barnes & Noble have it.
You have a website?
I do. It's called www.theroswelllegacy.com. And they can order it from there, too.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, sir.
Jesse Marcel, Jr., everybody. It's Jerry Pippin from Roswell.